for tuning in to a new episode of the Hashtag Mo Ledge podcast. This is Rachel Herndon Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, and I am sitting here with Alicia Scher.
Good morning.
Our lovely Missouri Times reporter, this interim, and we've got a lot of news.
A lot of news.
It's like we're within 3 weeks of the elections.
I know. Who would have guessed?
It's shocking. Anyway, so right off the top, we've got top five stories from last week. We've got top stories for this week. And some things are being celebrated this weekend, this week, yes, that I'd like to talk about. But so first things first, the top story of last week was internal poll gives Rorta Wieland slight edge in close races. Yeah. Now, that was tight. All of it was.
Well, Rorta was kind of inching ahead a little more than Wieland was. Rorta, I believe, had like 39% of the vote to his opponent having 34%. So it was outside of the margin of error.
So just to rewind a little bit, former state representative Jeff Rorta is running for Jefferson County Executive. He's the Democratic nominee, and his Republican general opponent is Dennis Gannon, Representative Elaine Gannon's husband, is running as a Republican for Jefferson County Executive. Obviously, State Senator Wieland running for re-election in SD22. His general opponent is Bob Butler.
Yeah,
he was on This Week in Missouri Politics last week. It's starting to all slur together. I'm pretty sure it was last week, though.
That race was really close. It was within 2 points, and that was within the margin of error.
And SD22 does extend beyond the Jefferson County lines,
yes,
right?
It does.
It is interesting to note, however, that Jefferson County overwhelmingly voted in support of Trump. And so it's interesting to think that the same people will be supporting Jeff Rorta as Donald Trump. But I guess in some ways it makes sense. But Democrat, Republican,
I think
Jeffco might be the new bellwether district. Maybe.
I think when you get into the more purple districts, they might be voting more on the merits of the candidates than just straight along party lines.
That's true. Or they say they are, at least. I will say that county also has HD 97, and that was John McCarty's seat, Republican, now Mike Rivas' seat. He's got a tough general election opponent in Mary Elizabeth Coleman.
She's impressive. With 6 kids and still out campaigning, knocking doors.
She is. She's absolutely slain. But I can't think of a single candidate in that county that isn't working their tail off.
You have to.
Anyway, so obviously Jefferson County is one county that Missouri Times will be watching very closely in the coming weeks. Second most read story on the Missouri Times last week. Judge orders injunction against portions of Missouri's voter ID law. So we've got Cole County Judge Richard Callahan, longtime veteran of Missouri courts, weeks before the election, strikes down parts of the voter ID law. And it's back in court again already.
Yeah, it's already back in court. Basically, he just said, hey, like, you can't mislead voters. And not only can you not mislead voters, the affidavit you're having them sign, he called it misleading and confusing.
You know what I really love that he said? He said, on election day, unlike your American Express, you can leave your ID at home.
Yes.
So that is interesting. And so the Secretary of State and the Attorney General's office are both challenging it in appeals now, right?
Yes. They've asked for an emergency injunction against it. I think the interesting note in Callahan's ruling was that he said an affidavit itself that they're asked to sign is perfectly legal and perfectly constitutional. But the way it's written, that the one they're asking them to sign, doesn't make sense because you're asking them to swear they don't possess a form of ID while simultaneously presenting a form of ID.
That just makes sense. It makes sense that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
More so.
So it's basically, he said, this specific affidavit that you're asking them to swear, you can't.
Interesting.
So I think the theory is if Secretary of State wanted to create a new one, they could.
Right on. I will say, if you get the Whispering Gallery, if you're a subscriber of the Missouri Times, you probably saw an article from Washington, Missouri, where the county clerk is about to start her poll worker training and doesn't know what to tell her poll workers. So that is concerning. That is something Alicia is personally very interested in. This will be her first year. This is her first time voting in Missouri. You voted in the primaries.
I voted in the primary. So
awesome.
It'll be my second. Anyway,
so welcome to a general election experience in Missouri. It's going to be a VR video game next year.
Really?
I mean, I like voting. Vote early and often, as they say. I'm joking. Third most read story of last week. New poll shows Amendment 2 favorite for legalizing medical marijuana. So Amendment 2 is...
New Approach Missouri.
New Approach Missouri. Awesome campaign on the ground. And so I guess that it has been settled by they, quote unquote they, that whichever of the three medical marijuana amendments or propositions that passes, the one with the most votes wins now.
The most yes votes.
Most yes no votes.
Yes.
So, I mean, I haven't seen any polling, but Amendment 2 is absolutely slaying in good press. It's got endorsements from the large papers. It's got endorsements on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
It's being touted as the most well-balanced option.
Well, this firm, which is First Tuesday Campaign, which is relatively brand new.
Right.
It was, they did this poll of just over 1,000 Missouri voters, October 5th and 6th, and all three marijuana measure questions pulled over 60% saying yes.
That's a lot.
Amendment 2 was the favorite at 69%. And then Amendment C actually garnered the least amount of yes votes at 62%.
That's the Bradshaw one?
I mean, sorry, Proposition C, which is Missourians for Patient Care.
Interesting.
Which is the statutory change that consequently also has the lowest tax.
Interesting. So obviously that'll be something we continue to watch. I encourage you to go find that article on our website because there is a lot of polling info. I've had many of you asking me for polls as I get it, and I have been sending them. But there's new information every day, right, Alish?
There's a new poll every day.
Every day. Number 4, we get another medical marijuana story back in the top 5. Munslinger urges voters
against Amendment 3,
citing concerns of eminent domain violations.
And this was...
Now, if you ever want to get farmers riled up, all you've got to do is say eminent domain.
Yeah. So this is one that was actually made it in the top 5 last week, too.
Yeah. And so Amendment 3, that's the Brad Bradshaw one, right?
Yes.
Because he wants to build research facilities, right?
Yes.
Something like that?
Research facilities.
Anyway, so it looks like State Senator Brian Munslinger may have single-handedly TKO'd that. I'm going to be honest. So number 5, most read story on the Missouri Times last week. Missourians will have 3 options for legalizing medical marijuana on November ballot. So 3 of the top 5 stories on the Missouri Times, 3 weeks out from elections, all have to do with medical marijuana.
Yeah.
So Alicia, I'm presuming you wrote this.
I did.
You have been a rock star on reporting about these 3 options of varying complexity.
Yeah, the marijuana issues just seem to be really big.
But they're not in the courts anymore, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you don't have to go to the courtroom anymore.
Don't have to go to the courtroom. One was dismissed. Bradshaw dropped the other lawsuit. So I think it'll come down to the merits of the measures and how well the voters know them when it comes.
It's kind of interesting how different they are. So you've got patient care, which is statutory.
Yes.
Which a lot of people like because it doesn't put it in the Constitution.
Correct.
Then you've got Amendment 2, which has the lowest tax rate of the three, right?
Amendment 2 is actually in the middle. It's at a 4%.
Okay, 4% sounds reasonable. Tax rate. I mean, not that I'm a tax expert. I'm just saying, based on things that I buy that are taxed.
And that's one that the Secretary of State's office estimates that it could generate an annual income for the state up to $18 million, and then potentially $6 million for local governments at an operating cost of $7
million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Amendment 3, it's literally creating new government. It's got the highest taxes, right? Also a constitutional change.
Yeah.
And I would say that one's a lot more different than the other two and what it presents as an option for voters.
Yeah. So that one is set at 15% tax. And then it also taxes flowers, buds, and ounces.
Right.
So,
is that, you know, and then, a genuine like, question that I don't think you know the answer for. I don't think anywhere in the Missouri Constitution or statutes does it say anything differentiating what flowers, buds, and did you say stems?
Ounces. Yes.
Right. I don't know enough about marijuana.
Oh, sorry. It's flowers, buds, and leaves.
Okay. Flowers, buds, and leaves.
By the ounce.
By the ounce. I'm presuming each of those presents a higher quality thing. You know what? We should have someone on the podcast to talk about this. Let's do that.
Even though I'm from Oregon, my knowledge of marijuana is relatively limited.
Let's talk about something we do know. Okay. We do know elections are two and a half weeks out, basically, now. We do know what the top stories of today are. We do know what we're going to be talking about with people over the next few days. First thing is a story we just put up.
Yes.
Director Karsten of DPS has named Kenny Jones, Ron Walker, to top post in the Department of Public Safety. So Director Karsten, she is the new head honcho over there. Kenny Jones is now Deputy Director of the Department of Public Safety. He began working at the department today, which is Tuesday, October 16th. Had to look at that because coffee didn't tell me. But Kenny Jones is beloved, king of Montauk County. I kind of love the statement Karsten had on this. Kenny Jones and Ron Walker bring decades of hands-on public service experience and leadership to the Department of Public Safety team. Each of them understands the critical importance of working closely with our local response partners, strengthening our capabilities so we can make Missouri safer, and being fully accountable to the people we serve. I'm going to go ahead and call that statement a home run.
Yeah. So, it just came out last week that Greg Favre.
Yes.
Pronunciation is
wait, is that right? Because it's Brett Favre.
Favre.
Okay.
Yes.
Please remember things. He stepped down.
He stepped down last week.
He put his letter of resignation on Twitter. So that made an opening. Kenny Jones stepped in. Ron Walker will start serving as Director of State Emergency Management Agency, SEMA, as some people call it. He started on October 9th, my bad. Anyway, so the strong move for all intents and purposes. Karsten looks amazing doing that. In case you don't know who Kenny Jones is, welcome to the world and not being underneath a rock. Chairman of the Missouri Probation and Parole resigned Monday from that so he could take this gig. He was Montauk County Sheriff from 85 to 2004. Had a small business in Montauk County. He was on the State Highway Patrol from 73 to 84, and then he was in the House. Anyway, impressive guy. Looking forward to seeing what he does for Missouri next.
Probation and parole just got a new member last week.
It did.
Too.
Don Phillips. Don Phillips. So the House is down one member. I don't think they have any votes to take in between now and then. He was terming out.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not the end of the world. But Don Phillips is no longer a member of the House. He is a member of the Missouri Board of Probation and Parole. So good for him. He is also a retired Missouri State Trooper, right?
Yes.
Yes. He was also on the Special Investigatory Committee recently. Outstanding commanding presence there. So... Strong play.
Yeah.
So, also important, yesterday was October 15th, which is Alicia's fourth favorite day of the year. Her favorite days of the year go as follows: July 15th, April 15th, January 15th, and then October 15th, because those are quarterly filing deadlines.
Oh, yes. I did a whole dance and everything.
And I'm going to be honest. I used to do these, and Alicia does them faster and better than I do, and that makes me so happy. But there were some records broken yesterday. There were some amazing... I keep wanting to say tour de force, but I can't remember what that actually means.
There was a lot of money brought in and spent just in the most recent quarter. The House Republican Campaign Committee,
HRCC,
achieved record-breaking $4.2 million raised for the cycle.
That's a lot of money.
Can't even comprehend that amount of money.
So the previous record was $4.1 million in 2010. So obviously we've got some great leadership over there with Casey Wheat and Wes Sutton just absolutely knocking it out of the park. I think their work will assure that the Missouri House does not take as big of a hit on lost seats on the supermajority as many thought months ago. I know at the 3-6 months ago, people were expecting 5 to 10 seats to be lost. I'm guessing it's going to be 5 or less now. Or I'm just going to look like a big idiot and whatever.
I don't want to make predictions like that, but...
Someday. You have to vote in at least 2 Missouri elections before you can make predictions like that.
Sounds good.
Another campaign we've been watching has been SD34, the race to replace Dr. Schaaf. Tony Lukemeyer had an absolutely knockout quarter. He raised $155,000, which is apparently $100,000 more than any other Republican state Senate candidate. So that's impressive in and of itself. He outraised his opponent, Democrat Martin Rucker, by over $100,000. Lukemeyer is just fundraising like crazy. He had fundraisers this past quarter with Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, Congressman Graves, U.S. Senator Blunt. And this week, he will have a fundraiser headlined by Governor Parson in St. Joseph. Yeah. So, Lukemeyer is showing just amazing strength there. But I'm still not going to count Martin Rucker out. Like, that is a popular, friendly man. And I'm not saying Tony Lukemeyer isn't friendly. He's also very nice. But it's hard to dislike Martin Rucker, and I'm interested how that's going to translate to the polls.
It's always interesting, particularly after the primary election in August. I'm hesitant to say just because you raise the most money you're going to win, because in a lot of districts that was not the case.
I mean, Carla May literally filed a limited activity report. She won because she was out there on the doors every day.
Yeah.
So you're right. Sometimes it doesn't come down to money or how you spend it, but how much time you spend out there asking for people's votes.
Yeah.
On a related note, Rucker and Lukemeyer will be doing a full episode debate on This Week in Missouri Politics on Sunday. I'm very excited for that. It's always fun whenever Scott goes to Kansas City to tape the episode there, because it is a statewide television show. And if you don't know where to watch it on Sunday, you can go to twmp.tv, or you can just text me. That's fine too. Or you can go to the website. I would recommend that. So, also notable in this quarter, State Auditor Galloway out fundraises Sandra McDowell 50-1.
It's mind blowing the campaign fundraising difference between the two. Because Galloway's, as of the filing, so which ended October 1st, she was nearly at $2 million.
And McDowell's nearly at $200,000.
Well, McDowell was nearly at $40,000.
Oh, yeah. So total, she has raised $200,000, right?
So that's...
this cycle.
So that's where the campaign filing got a little weird, because...
she has $25,000 in debt, right?
Well, she has $25,000 in debt, but it showed the $40,000 was also her this period fundraising total. And I feel like that's not right. I feel like it should be more than that.
You know, maybe... there's a lot of jokes I can make about what the auditor does. Looking forward to learning more about the finances from the only state official statewide race going on there. It has definitely been a spirited campaign from both sides. Galloway is now on TV. She announced that last week.
Yes.
McDowell has been incredibly active on social media, and it's not just a one-way street. She's interacting on social media, and it has been very interesting to watch. It looks like she's obviously learned a lot from other Republican campaigns from outsiders over the last 5 years or so. So I still wouldn't count, I wouldn't count McDowell out. But yeah, 50-1, that's insane. And she has as much cash on hand right now that she could almost pay her debt off, right? But yes, she does not have enough money to get on TV right now.
No.
But I know the Missouri Republican Party is trying really hard to... They had a fundraising email last week that said, let's pass the basket. I'm trying to put in a sense of unity there behind McDowell. And McDowell has been working the circuit. She was at, I believe, the St. Charles Republican Campaign Committee, or Republicans, last week. Anyway, we're going to keep watching it, seeing what's going on. Alicia will continue to enjoy
spectating that. On the bright side, that she does have a huge fundraising advantage over the Constitution Party candidate in the auditor's race, who's raised about $400.
Wow. You know, thank you for that, Alicia. So Find the Cures had a great fundraising quarter. Was it mostly from Dr. Bradshaw?
Yeah. Okay. Bradshaw has funded most of that. But for me, what stuck out is that was the only pro medical marijuana campaign that had significant funding, like spending, this last period at just over $160,000 in total.
That's a lot of money.
In total, they've spent $1.7 million, which none of the other two campaigns have come close to.
Interesting.
So, which kind of stuck out in my mind.
That's a lot of money to spend. And I mean, they've been in the courts because they tried to sue the other medical marijuana ones. But, like, whenever I go talk to, like, my in-laws or my family, both, or any of my friends or their families, just normal Missourians, they don't know anything about this campaign. And I'm sure you would be incredibly irritated if I asked you to go break down that 1.7 and tell me how they spent that. But that's a campaign worth watching. And especially because most traditional campaigns, and this is obviously not a traditional campaign, they spend the bulk of their money on get out the vote efforts. Because a good campaign goes from Election Day backwards when it comes to organization. Because at the end of the day, if you don't get voters to the poll, you wasted all your money. So I'm very curious. They're spending a lot. I wonder how they're going to spend the rest of it over the next few weeks, if they're going to be able to mobilize voters for them. Another campaign that is working very hard this week, and we will talk more about that in a second, but safermo.com, the pro Prop D gas tax campaign, raked in $2.4 million this period, and they spent almost a million. They spent nearly $900,000. And this week, Governor Parson is traveling around the state on an infrastructure week tour in support of Prop D. That's a big deal.
See, I've seen, like, vote yes on Prop D signs all around everywhere. Jefferson City, and in yards, and it's really caught my attention recently that...
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I know you're new to the state, but Missouri has, like, I remember when I was a kid, the last time that they passed a gas tax, Missouri roads were the 49th worst in the country. And I think the first worst was Arkansas. So it was just, you know, whatever you want to say about that. But roads have been getting worse and worse. And I think it's finally resonating with taxpayers, with voters, that whenever you've got over 1,000 bridges that are close to closure, yeah, and you start to see those in your neighborhood, it's concerning. And something I think a lot of voters are liking about Prop D is a large portion of the money that would bring in would go to counties and cities, and it would go to law enforcement. And I haven't seen an organized campaign opposing Prop D, but it would be very hard to say that. Because, I mean, good infrastructure means safety. It means your kids getting safe to school. It means getting safe to work. It means being able to get your tractor across a bridge so you can market your products and market.
Yeah, I remember when this came for a final vote in the House, Representative Rocky Miller actually had a strong argument against it, and his wasn't the against increasing the gas tax, it was the mechanism in which it does it and how it's distributed and all that. He said it, that this was the wrong way to do it.
That's interesting. And I will say, there's been, usually I don't read Facebook comments on the Missouri Times stories, but they've been pretty good lately. There was one reader who tried to kick someone off of our page yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. And last time I checked, I'm the only person who can do that. But, I mean, whatever. But anyway, so big deal for the new governor to be traveling around supporting this proposition. And they also went to TV last week. So
yes.
Prop D now has, or well, Prop D, safermo.com has a TV ad that's statewide. They have a complimentary radio ad, I believe it was called. And I do love my complimentary radio ads. But I believe their ad is Makes Sense. And I mean, the Missouri Times editorial board has endorsed Prop D because it does make sense. I mean, there is literally a city bridge that is closed 2 blocks away from my house. It closed 2 weeks ago. And if this were to pass, I'm pretty sure that bridge would be reopened. Yeah. Anyway, I just think it's wild because, I mean, I see stats, you see the reports that, oh, 1,200 bridges are closed. But it's very rare to actually see those bridges.
Yeah.
And whenever that starts to happen in your neighborhood, and that starts to happen in your town, and you notice them, you're like, oh, there is a problem. Whenever there's no rumble strips on a highway, whenever there's no shoulder on a highway, or those things, those silver fence things, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, whenever those aren't there.
Guardrails?
Guardrails, that's what they're called. But not the bad guardrails that we talked about last year. Don't like those. The good guardrails. That concerns me. That's just basic safety.
Well, I remember when I was traveling and doing Republican on-the-ground interviews for the state Senate to replace Munslinger, I was with Walker, and he was driving down the road. He's like, this is a farm-to-market road. It had no shoulders. There was cracks everywhere. We were hitting potholes. He's like, this is what Prop D would fix.
Yeah. So, kind of exciting. Anyway, another campaign worth watching, Clean Missouri. And I'm presuming that sometime this week we will have a Clean Missouri story. Amendment 1, there's Clean Missouri is the pro campaign. Missourians First is the opposition campaign. Both sides are telling me that the St. Louis County NAACP is supporting them. So whenever we figure out which side that the NAACP went towards, we will have a story. But this election, Clean Missouri has spent $2.1 million. Missourians First filed limited activity, but keep in mind, Missourians First is a campaign full of campaign veterans who have probably collectively have a century of experience between them all. Like, not even joking. What money they do have, I expect would be spent in the next weeks. Because you remember what I said. If you can't get out the vote, you've wasted all your money.
Yeah.
Anyway, another campaign committee that him spent some money. The Greitens campaign paid a lot of legal fees for two lawyers hired to represent the campaign or the former governor during potential impeachment proceedings. So if you remember back, the state denied the request for those bills to be paid. Yeah, so it looks like the Greitens campaign picked up the tab there.
Over $100,000 went to Hush Blackwell. Roughly 70 grand went to the Washington firm, and then a little over $15,000 went to a firm out of Georgia.
Georgia. Huh. Oh, I will note that, keep in mind, the Greitens campaign and A New Missouri are still in the courts. There was the Pajoli lawsuit is still going on. There's actually a deposition ordered yesterday, I think, if I remember correctly. So Catherine Hanaway is still on the clock.
She is still on the clock. A New Missouri, there.
We are slowly dying as the frost finally melts from Missouri's first frost. The Farmer's Almanac was only off by 3 days this year.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I had an interesting insight. I know you're an ag girl, but I am very new to the Farmer's Almanac. Mostly because I'm really trying to garden. It's not really working out, but I'm trying. Like to learn new things. Anyway, someone told me yesterday that they were like, I don't believe in psychics, but I do believe in the Farmer's Almanac.
Well, I always grew up, my grandparents, in their bed, like, by their nightstand, there's two books I have. The Bible and the Farmer's Almanac.
That's beautiful. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just out of curiosity. Are the same allergens present in the part of Oregon you're from that are exist in Missouri, or are you having a rough time?
So I really don't have.
You don't have
allergens.
Any, you're just coughing.
Are you coughing.
Are you educating yourself on what seeds, stems, and leaves are? She doesn't even deny it. She's laughing.
Google's a girl's best friend.
I'm so sorry that I made fun of you for coughing, as someone who coughs a lot. Anyway, so that wraps up our segment about quarterly filings. Alicia will have an article up today about what we learned from it, with a little bit about what we talked today, a lot more. She always does an excellent job at that. So, we got some things going on this week.
We have a lot going on this week.
I alluded to Infrastructure Week. So, the governor is touring with the SaferMo.com campaign. They will be doing the daily stops. And this is on top of the governor's normal stuff. So, he is speaking today, I believe, at the Missouri Chamber Conference in St. Louis. You're Alicia. Danielle, our reporter out in St. Louis, will be trying to go to that. Tomorrow, Alicia and I will actually be venturing to Northwest Missouri.
We will.
We're going on an adventure. We're staying at a haunted Airbnb. It is going to be great. I don't actually know if it's haunted, but if it is, I'll let you know. Anyway, so Alicia and I will be going to the stop tomorrow in St. Joseph, Missouri. We might also go to the Kansas City stop too, depending on how much coffee I make tomorrow morning. But we're very excited to be reporting live from the streets of Missouri politics. That sounded a lot cooler in my head.
We're going to get on the ground.
Get on the ground. I haven't been on the ground in a very long time. I'm going to get on the ground.
Couldn't get on the ground.
Last time I was on the ground, a Maltese bit me, so... Yeah. And that's why I'm afraid of small dogs and not giant dogs. Giant dogs don't bite you whenever you're canvassing. Anyway, it is also Buy Missouri Week. B-U-Y. Purchase. So yes. Buy stuff from Missouri this week. My recommendations of things to buy from Missouri. That chocolate from Springfield, whose name I cannot pronounce, and Ben is not here to correct me on how to pronounce it, but it starts with an A. That is good. Roastery Coffee from Kansas City. Alicia's drinking it right now.
It's great.
Hallmark cards. Pretty sure my mom keeps them in business. For real. Also from Hallmark, I get these little mini things. They're like stuffed mini superheroes and stuff. They only sell them at Hallmark, but my daughter loves them. They're little plushies. Anyway, they're exclusive to Hallmark. You're welcome, Mayor Turgan, for that. What are some of your favorite Missouri? Oh, Boulevard Wheat Beer. It's Boulevard so good. Wheat Beer. Unfiltered is wheat is what's up.
So this is actually something I want.
All right, but are you going to talk about the cookie cutter?
I'm going to talk about the cookie cutter. So, Missouri Parks tweeted out a picture yesterday of their Buy Missouri display. And they didn't. And part of it was a Missouri cookie cutter. And I just had this.
It's an outline of the state of Missouri. Yes. Just to clarify.
Yes. It's like you could make sugar cookies in the shape of Missouri. And I really wanted to make sugar cookies in the shape of Missouri. But I don't know where to get this cookie cutter.
So I found one on Etsy, but Alicia won't let me buy it because she doesn't know if it was made in Missouri. And I will say, there was like a theme in my day yesterday where a lot of my friends who enjoy baking wouldn't stop talking about cookie cutters. So I guess now that it's winter, we're making cookies, guys. So hopefully Alicia or some of my other friends will teach me how to make cookies with cookie cutters because I am really good at the stuff that you cut and just put on a... Like cookie dough, you just make it happen.
Do you buy your cookie dough?
Did you know Kawasaki, like motorbikes and four wheelers, are made up in Maryville, Missouri?
I did not know that.
Now you do. There is a factory up in Kirksville that makes like the adhesive stickers and things that a lot of hospitals use. St. Louis, obviously home to Budweiser.
Yes.
Dum 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 dum.
There's a lot of wineries. St. James Winery.
Yes. St. James Winery. I was there a couple weeks ago, and it is lovely. They let you have dogs. So St. James Winery has, like, a big, like, winery room. I should take you here. You would love it. We'll bring Grayson. We'll get kicked out. It'll be great.
St. James Wine.
But they have, like, an outdoor, like, courtyard, and they have awesome food. Like, they have a brick pizza oven, and there's a certain lobbyist who got me hooked on brick-fired pizza ovens. Like, it's just amazing. But I am a sucker for St. James Friendship Red, specifically. Like, apparently Riverboat Red is their most popular wine. I can't do sweet wines. Not my scene. But there's my recommendation as for... Oh, you know what else is good? The Adam Pook de Norton. Very good.
This summer, I bought an entire case of their summer red.
That sounds so sweet.
It actually wasn't too sweet.
I don't believe
it. It was great.
Okay. Let's see. Any other Missouri businesses worth plugging right now?
Quaker's Window and Doors. They're doing expansion on their facility.
That is in my 5-year. Yeah, so they're going to expand to Eldon. There was a lot of people who worked together to make that happen there in Vichy? Versailles? Or Versailles? Oh my gosh. I know where it is. It's off 63. Anyway, so they're expanding their facilities out to Eldon. So that'll be great for Miller County economy.
Fun if you're looking for Missouri-made businesses. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe's office has an entire list.
They have a list?
They have a list and a spotlight and things for their Buy Missouri Week.
And Missouri also has, and this isn't exactly like merchandise that you can just go purchase at Home Depot. Well, we don't have a Home Depot in Jeff, but Lowe's or whatever. But Missouri is home to a lot of Fortune 500 companies too. We've got Ameren. We've got now KCP&L Westar. Monsanto. They merged with Bayer. Like, yeah, Missouri is home to big business. Missouri is home to small business. We're a very diverse economy. And Alicia and I are very excited for Buy Missouri Week. Very excited. We will be... I'm kind of tempted, if we weren't cramped for time, one of my favorite things to do, like, my parents live in Lee Summit. I like to take 50 home and stop at all the, like, Amish markets.
Ew.
Because carbs. My daughter and I
carbs
believe
carbs are a good thing.
Carbs and cheese are two food groups. And obviously
both are very, both have nutrients.
Very important. And also a variety of candies. I guess that follows under the category of carbs. But whenever I say carbs, I'm thinking muffins, baked goods in general. Anyway, also happening this week, in your email, you might have an email from me. I am putting together, and Alicia's working very hard, on the January magazine. We're excited to put that together. It's going to have the best of the legislature 2018 list. It's a list that obviously we're very proud of. Proud to produce, otherwise we wouldn't do it. It's also gonna have a family section, which is something I wanted on the first magazine and didn't, but now we've got a family section. We're gonna talk spouses, we're gonna talk to kids. So excited. Alicia, did you know that between the House Speaker designee and the majority floor leader, they have 9 kids? 9 of them.
That's insane.
The patience of saints.
I don't know how some people do it.
I could do 9 dogs if I had a good yard.
I could do 9 dogs. I'll do 9 dogs.
Oh, those are big families.
I would do 9 cats. I don't know if I could do 9 kids.
Anyway, so check your email, because I most likely might have asked you for an opinion, or might have asked you to support it or sponsor it or whatever. And I appreciate all of you reading it and supporting that publication. We work very hard and we take a lot of pride in that publication, as we do in all of our productions, obviously. But last thing for everyone, this Friday, October 19th, is the annual Buckle Up Phone Down Day. Seriously, do not be stupid. Do not text. Please buckle up. It might save your life. I will say, I don't think Alicia's had to yet, but writing up car accidents is not fun, especially considering we're a political niche publication. Car accidents and making stupid choices is not something anyone enjoys reporting on. So please,
this is true. Please buckle don't make up. Me write on it.
Please don't make us do that. Please buckle up. Put your phone down when you're driving. It's 2018. There's a lot of tools to make you safer. But the annual day for that is this Friday. I would say it's every day. I think actually the Jefferson City Mayor, Carrie Turgeon, just got an award for that. She is a huge advocate. She does this like thumbs up, thumbs down thing that's as complicated as patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. Like, I have to think about it. Literally one thumb up, one thumb down. Buckle up, phone down. Anyway, do that. Make good choices. If you're ever unsure as to whether you should buckle your seatbelt, text me, "Hey, Rachel, should I buckle my seatbelt?" And I will tell you yes, because the answer is yes. And if you are uncertain of that, your car is probably beeping nonstop at you. And maybe you should listen to it.
And if you're the passenger in a car, please buckle up.
Yes, do that. Anyway, as the former 7th grade president of Students Against Drunk Driving, I've watched a documentary of these terrible accidents from people not buckling up many times. It has Backstreet Boys in the background. Really tragic. It's a tearjerker. But seriously, don't invite tragedy into your family's lives by making stupid choices. I would continue about that, but it's getting kind of redundant. As always, Alicia and I appreciate you reading. We appreciate you keeping us on our toes. We will be on the road Wednesday and Thursday. Very excited for that. Show Me Missouri. We'll be sitting down with Blake Hurst in his home county, and Alicia is excited. Anyway, you know where to find us if you have a story that we haven't heard yet. Otherwise, thank you for listening to the #MoLedge podcast.